it becomes whole. Its negativities drop away, and the quality of its consciousness becomes lighter. It becomes able to see itself and those around it with compassion and clarity, with the wisdom of its soul. When a soul chooses to participate consciously in more inclusive levels of interaction, it becomes capable of participating directly in the liberation of its family, or its group, or its community, or its nation from the negativities that are present and active at those levels. It also runs the risk of contamination by those negativities. In other words, a soul that seeks to bring a higher quality of consciousness to a more inclusive level of human interaction runs the risk of being contaminated by the fear or the anger or the selfishness of that level. Great souls, such as the soul that was Gandhi, for example, run the risk of great contamination. At the level of soul contact, a great soul deals not only with its own fear, its personal fear, but it also takes on the evolution of the collective fear of the species. The weight of that is where a great soul risks contamination on a great level. But its possibility of releasing the fear from the collective consciousness of the species also becomes possible. The consciousness of a great soul is symbolic of the larger consciousness, the macro consciousness, that holds the same values and fears and guilts. That macro-consciousness might be the collective consciousness of the United States, or China, or Ethiopia. The many souls that form that collective are in continual dialogue with its own. The great soul is a person who has taken on the task of change. If he or she is able to transcend fear, to act out of courage, the whole of its group will benefit. And each one, in his or her own life, will suddenly be more courageous, though they might not see how or why. Not all souls accomplish the task that they have set for themselves. As you look at the individuals who are in major positions of influence upon our planet, you can see whether or not they are succeeding in their task of advancing humanity by the choices that they have made. Some have chosen to align themselves like mannequins with the dying consciousness of the five-sensory human that has existed within the collective consciousness of each of our nations. They have chosen, in other words, to represent a system that is disintegrating, and so their own systems are disintegrating before their eyes. Their comrades are corrupt. Their governments are corrupt. These souls represent a form of power that is no longer effective, but they have failed to understand that. They draw to themselves those whose consciousnesses are aligned symbolically and in terms of beliefs to their own. They choose to walk the shifting pattern of fear and selfishness. They exhibit great paranoid energy, and, therefore, they attract to themselves their governments and their militaries, fellow human beings that have the same paranoid desire to destroy life, as if the destruction of life will save our planet. But it will not. Through the decisions that they have made, these souls have refused to acknowledge that the older forms of power, the perception of power as external, no longer will be tolerated upon the earth. Nonetheless, the evolution from external power to authentic power is occurring now in full force, and so their decisions affect only how that shift will take place. They have chosen the path of fear and doubt, of trauma and pain. The difference between a great soul that aligns itself with openness and growth and interdependence, that transcends its fear on behalf of itself and its collective, and one that does not, is that the soul that chooses openness has a different active level of courage and insight and wisdom, and the one that does not has consistently weakened under the impact of the fear of the collective. Choice to choice, to choice to choice, negativity upon negativity, and a Hitler is created. The soul that was Hitler had great potential as well. Every soul that agrees consciously to bring to a level of human interaction the love and compassion and wisdom that it has acquired is trying through his or her own energy to challenge the fear patterns of that collective. This is the archetypical pattern that was put into place within our species by the teacher, Jesus. It is what he symbolized as he moved through his lifetime in the way that he did. He released the negative karmic patterns of the collective unconscious that had accumulated to his time. In each great soul, it is the same pattern. The pattern of taking on the whole through the power of his or her own consciousness to transform it. When a soul reaches for authentic power and chooses consciously to bring that power into the levels of interaction that it shares with other souls, it enters this dynamic. It brings to a collective energy system the consciousness of authentic power, and through that power, engages in the transformation of that collective. Your evolution toward authentic power, therefore, affects not only you. As the frequency of your consciousness increases, as the quality of your consciousness reflects the clarity, humbleness, forgiveness, and love of authentic power, it touches more and more around you. As your temptations become greater, so does your ability to make responsible choices. As you shine brighter, as your light and power increase with each responsible choice, so does your world. Chapter 12. Souls. Each human being has a soul. The journey toward individual soulhood is what distinguishes the human kingdom from the animal kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, and the mineral kingdom. Only the human kingdom has the experience of individual soulhood. That is why its powers of creation are great. The soul process moves through degrees of awareness. Animals, for example, do not have individual souls. They have group souls. Each animal is part of a group soul. Each horse is part of the group soul of horse. Each cat is part of the group soul of cat, and so on. A group soul is not the same as an individual soul. Consider, for example, the group soul of buffalo. There is one group soul of enormous impersonal energy that is called buffalo. It is an enormous expansive sphere of impersonal energy that is buffalo consciousness. It exists at a level of simply energy dynamics, not individual selfhood. That energy is in continual movement. As it heightens in frequency, it can spill over into the next level, and it also can absorb other frequencies from a lower level. So the soul continues. It is a group soul, not individual. There are not individual buffalo souls within a whole. There is only one soul energy system wherein there is no individualhood. Instinctual behavior is the way of the group soul. Picture a movement that looks like the mouth of the Mississippi River. As you walk up the river from that place, the river grows more and more and more narrow until it reaches but a point of power. The open mouth is analogous to a group soul. The size of it, the collective nature of it, is the group soul. This is the nature of souls in the mineral, vegetable, and animal kingdoms. In other words, cat is a cat soul, dolphin is a dolphin soul, and so on. Within the animal kingdom, there are graduations of intelligence and awareness. For example, dolphin, horse, and dog are not on the same wavelength. The consciousness of a dolphin is closer to the consciousness of the ape, and then closer to the consciousness of the dog. But the consciousness of the horse is on a level beneath them. It is possible that the human soul can be produced through the evolution of the animal kingdom as a collective energy from the animal soul. How does this happen? The dolphin soul, for example, evolves through each particular individual dolphin. The particular advancements of each particular dolphin advance the soul of the dolphin itself. The collective is enhanced by the accomplishments of the individual dolphin. The same mechanism works within the human kingdom. With each of our individual advancements, the group soul of humanity, what we call our collective unconscious, evolves. In this way, evolution continues within the dolphin species, as within all species. Let us say, arbitrarily, that the consciousness of the dog soul is 20 percentile points below that of the dolphin soul, 20 points less than the intelligence of the dolphin. If the group soul of dog produces a high light consciousness, it is possible for that consciousness to release itself from the group soul of dog and advance into and penetrate the consciousness of dolphin. Likewise, it is possible, and it does happen, that human beings' souls come from the advanced soul energy of the dolphin soul or the ape soul and begin their process of evolution into the human soul. Unlike an animal, you have an individual soul. You are an individual energy system, a micro of a macro. As part of the micro, you have all the power of the macro calibrated to an individual form of certain energies. Animals are not micros of a macro. Cats, for example, do not have individual souls or ego energy. They are merely physical manifestations of a huge macro system. That certain cats are scared and certain are comforted is merely the different numerous millions of frequencies that interact into the group cat soul. Animals do not evolve through responsible choice as we do. Rather, the frequency of their consciousnesses becomes lightened in the fullness of the evolution of their soul as a group. This does not mean that animals are not capable of individual acts of love. What of an animal that lays down its life for its human? That is as legitimate a sacrifice of love of life as it is for a human, because in that instance, the animal realizes that it is willingly releasing its life. That, for an animal, is graduation to the human experience, or to its next higher level. The nature of a group soul can be seen through its manifestations. The nature of dolphin soul, for example, is expressed through dolphins. The same is true for our species. The nature of the soul of humankind can be seen through the nature of human beings. The dolphin soul is leaving the earth. That is, the dolphin species is becoming extinct. The dolphins are beaching themselves. They are creating diseases within themselves. That is their way of refusing to continue to live upon the earth. They feel that they cannot fulfill the purpose for which they are born. Therefore, they are leaving. Their deaths are not suicide because they are not frightened. They are exhausted. The dolphin soul manifests itself. Dolphins are born to bring love and life and creativity to the oceans. They manifest to form a bridge of joy and love and intelligence between the aquatic kingdom and the human kingdom. This they cannot do. Our species reaches toward the dolphin soul only with brutality. The dolphin spirit, how it suffers. This is a time of great sorrow. It is a time to look soberly and deeply upon the values and behaviors that result from the perception of power as external. It is a time to grieve with the dolphin soul, to offer comfort to it. If you wish to offer comfort to the dolphin soul, image from the heart of the dolphin consciousness that your energies are now moving below deep, warm, clear, soothing water. As you feel yourself emerging into the aquatic kingdom, let yourself begin to radiate your thoughts to these fellow creatures that share our planetary home. Imagine that you are sending them love as they continue their evolution and leave the Earth school, that you grieve with them and yet you know that, like you, they are immortal. Send these thoughts. Let them know that they are not leaving without human beings' understanding. Let them hear you say, "I am one who understands." Can you do that? It will make their grieving journey of value. There is more than one avenue from which individual souls are formed. Part of the chain of evolution within our global village is the process of this advancement from kingdom to kingdom to kingdom. But if a soul that has not been before upon our planet chooses the human experience, it would not be necessary for that soul to move through kingdom evolution. It would, indeed, pick up the situation within the physical environment that is most appropriate for it. There are souls that have never had the human experience. When we speak of souls entering the physical arena to heal, to balance their energy, to pay their karmic debts, we are speaking of the evolution of life as we know it upon our Earth. We are not speaking of other galaxies or of life on other levels that are not physical as we know them. The experience of physicalness is not always necessary to certain advances. If it is, it is encouraged. There comes a point when the physicalness experience no longer serves the soul's awareness, and therefore the soul chooses to learn in the non-physical realm. It may choose to learn, for example, through the task of becoming a non-physical guide. Each individual human soul is a micro of the macro that is the soul of the human species. But the soul of humankind is not a micro of a macro. In other words, there is no larger spiritual human soul beyond the soul of humanity. Beyond that comes the experience of master, the experience of moving into advanced levels of life that is no longer specific to human. Our non-physical teachers, teachers with a capital T, are from these levels of light, light with a capital L. Therefore, it is not appropriate to consider them from the dynamic of the personal. Rather, it is more appropriate to think of them as impersonal consciousnesses, which is that which they are, from realms that cannot be understood in human terms. They do not, for example, have the splintered personality aspects that we have. They do not have the shadow sides, so to speak. Does an angel have a soul? An angel is its soul, its full soul. That is the difference between that which is whole and in union and that which is growing into it. Duality only exists in certain levels and not in others. Duality is a dynamic of learning. It is its own rhythm and tension and does not exist beyond another level of learning and development. You are existing in duality, and your non-physical teachers are not. This is not their home, so to speak. They are teachers to our plane. They are free to teach in our plane without being of our plane. Your non-physical teacher does not become of this plane when it counsels you any more than a parent becomes an infant in order to teach its infant. It is not necessary. That level of evolution is assumed in the presence of the parent. It is simply the natural dynamic of evolution. We are destined to evolve beyond the nature of duality. Duality is that which is understood in time and space. As you evolve beyond that, and also when you leave your physical body and journey home to your non-physical plane of reality, you will not exist in dualism, and that sense of the wrathful or sorrowful or fearful self that you think of as present to you now will evaporate. It has no power in that realm beyond duality where there exists the perfection of all that is. When you leave your physical form, you will join the non-physical level of reality that is appropriate to your vibrational frequency at the time that you leave your incarnation. Where do advanced human souls go? There are many forms of life that exist as advancements of this one. There are literally millions of options. There is life in numerous galaxies. There are millions, indeed billions, of other life-filled planets. There is not one planet that lacks a level of active consciousness, some of which is akin to our human form, and some of which does not come close to our form, but remains consciousness as we understand the term. There exists a realm that the religious language of the West would call the angelic kingdom. This is a range of beings of numerous frequencies and qualities of consciousness, many of whom guide and interact with us upon the earth. This realm is indeed balanced with other forces, but it cannot be understood in human terms. Evolution continues in that realm, although there is that perception that our words harmony and perfectness would address. An angel might be thought of as a force of consciousness that has evolved into an appropriate teaching modality for the planetary village called Earth, but may also have been part of the evolution of other galaxies and life forms there. An angel's home, so to speak, is that kingdom, the angelic kingdom, and the range of non-physical life forms that exist within and lower than and beyond that vibrational sphere. Angels continue evolution, as do other members of that realm, as do consciousnesses that we would recognize as masters, such as those after whom religions have been named upon our earth. That evolution continues. But there is perfectness, rather than the experience of fusing consciousness with matter that occurs within our earth school. Does the law of karma apply to non-physical beings? The law of karma is universal in the sense that there is not a life form that is not responsible for its energy. But karma cannot be understood in terms of non-physical dimensions in the same way that we understand it. An angel does not have the barriers that we have. An angel sees something, for example, and we do not. The difference is a barrier. An angel does not have our barriers, and so it cannot create the karma that we do. It has a level of sight and knowledge that prevents certain actions from happening simply because of the depth and knowingness that is of its rank in creation. The great law of karma works because an angel still has will. But an angel is armed with a great deal more than the limitations that characterize the human experience. An angel does not fear death. It has no physicalness. It is only that it is immortal. It is with all that is. It has no doubt. It sees and lives in light, capital L, light, so that the ingredients that create karma for the human experience are not part of its personal reality. Although an angel has will, the circumstances cannot be described in which that will might bend in the wrong way, if there were such a thing, or in a negative way. In one sense, an angel can be considered to have evolved beyond the need to be tested, and therefore, for it, there is no karma. Other levels also exist, such as the level in which disincarnate spirits are bound close to their physicalness in the immediate environment of the earth arena. These spirits do not pursue the journey back to their higher selves, but remain bound with their non-physical, individual states close to the earth. Imagine that your personality, your characteristics, and part of your non-physical self wish to remain intact and not proceed on their evolution. The process of the soul discharging the aspects of personality does not happen. A combustion and congestion occurs within the energy system. Usually this happens when a soul cannot accept that it must move on and release a particular incarnation. In some instances, a soul holds on to a personality because that personality was particularly successful or powerful in its lifetime. The congestion in the process of evolution that occurs produces the phenomena that we refer to as evil spirits, ghosts, or possessions. These spirits choose to remain earthbound, within the earth's auric field. Are they evil? They are negative, yes, but evil is another issue. Do they encourage negativity? Yes, but that is part of the law of attraction. Their own energy is drawn to like forces of energy or like forces of weakness. Within this realm, these spirits can create additional negative karma by pursuing malevolence. Therefore, it is possible to speak of evolving beyond karma, as the Buddhas do. They are referring to the karma of the earth, where there is always this circumstance of choice between how you want to learn, which path you shall choose. The Buddhas refer to the earth, to the human experience and how it is set up, which is with free will, choice, placed between faith and doubt, good and evil, between the choices and dualisms that our species has created. It is that karma that they are referring to, not the karmic patterns that cease to be once you, as a soul, no longer require learning in the world of duality. Even though angels have will, they do not accumulate karma as we think of it. It is not part of their dimension. Yet they have will. The law of karma as we understand it is the law of karma for physical matter and spirit, not for spirit. Many realms that are non-physical are not angelic. In addition to the realm of disincarnate human beings that are bound close to the earth, for example, there is the devic community of our nature kingdoms. There are numerous, numerous realms of non-physical life. Beyond the angelic realm, there are realms upon realms of intelligence that we would think of as God. Within the human species, there exist degrees of soul consciousness. Not all humans are equally aware of their souls. Therefore, do all human beings have equal potential? Yes and no. This question is complex. It cannot be answered simply because among souls that are on the same frequency band, such as those within the Earth school, there is a common quality of consciousness. Yet, there is a difference between their ranges of consciousness. An individual that is not quite as expanded in his or her awareness is not equal in the sense that we usually mean equal to someone of greater awareness. There is an inequality. Yet it is not an inequality that remains unequal. It is just a temporary level of momentum in the flow of evolution. A soul has no beginning and no end, and yet some souls are older than other souls. Both are true. All souls come directly from the Godhead, and yet there is no single way that souls are formed individually. Both are true. Understanding the soul becomes paradoxical only if you apply a type of thinking that holds the notion of beginning. All that is can form itself into individual droplets of consciousness, because you are a part of all that is. You have literally always been. Yet, there was the instant when that individual energy current that is you was formed. Consider that the ocean is God. It has always been. Now reach in and grab a cup full of water. In that instant, the cup becomes individual, but it has always been, has it not? This is the case with your soul. There was the instant when you became a cup of energy, but it was of an immortal, original being. You have always been, because what it is that you are is God, or divine intelligence. But God takes on individual forms. Droplets, reducing its power to small particles of individual consciousness. It is a massive reduction of power, yet the power is as full in that droplet as it is in the whole. It is as immortal, and as creative, and as expressive, but in its tinier form, its energy is reduced appropriately to its form. As that little form grows in power, in selfhood, in its own consciousness of self, it becomes larger and more godlike. Then it becomes God. This is a process that parallels the process of your personality, which is of your soul expanding into your higher self, and thereby coming into the full power of your soul incarnate. It also parallels the process of your personality and higher self re-entering the fullness of your soul when you leave the earth. As an individual soul, you remain an individual soul. You are both individual and one with all that is. The individual unit of evolution is the soul. This perception is new to us because, as a species, we have not before been aware of the existence of the soul. In our religious thoughts, we acknowledge what we call the soul, but we have not, until now, taken it seriously enough to consider what the existence of the soul means in terms of everyday experience, in terms of the joys and pains and sorrows and fulfillments that make a human life. We have not turned our attention to the needs of the soul. We have not considered what is required by the soul in order to be healthy. We have not studied the soul, or sought to help it attain what is necessary to its evolution and its health. Because we have been five-sensory, we have focused upon the body and the personality. We have developed extensive knowledge of the physical apparatus that the soul assumes when it incarnates. We know of amino acids, neurotransmitters, chromosomes, and enzymes, but we do not know of the soul. We do not know how these physical functions serve the soul or are affected by it. We seek to cure dysfunctions of the body by controlling its environment at the molecular level. In other words, our approach to healing is based upon the perception of power as external. This type of healing can be helpful to the body, but it does not, and cannot, heal at the level of the soul. Consider that those who are trained in this way are accustomed to learning about life, capital L, life, through the study of dead matter. They seek to learn of life through the study of carcasses and corpses. Through the study of that which does not have spirit, how can they see spirit? Even as such minds look out into this vast galaxy, they cannot see life because they are convinced that the entire galaxy does not have life, except as they see it and identify it. So the life forms and the brothers and sisters that we have on other galaxies remain hidden and will remain hidden until the basic premise that life is and permeates all that is, that there is only life, becomes the principle of what we call science. Then we will explore the physics of the soul. Then we will study life with life, and not dead matter, and not try to breathe intelligence and purpose into it by taking apart in our laboratories human forms and animal forms. This will be seen someday as a very primitive form of learning, because there is no consciousness there. The body is an instrument of the soul. If the piano player is sick, does it help to repair his or her piano? What an instrument produces depends not only upon the state of the instrument, but also upon the musician. If the musician plays the blues or soars with joy, the instrument follows. Even a tuned and polished instrument cannot soar with joy if the musician chooses sadness or grief. In the case of your soul and body, the instrument becomes the blues or soars with joy. If the musician becomes consumed with grief or anger or sadness, the instrument disintegrates. In some cases, a broken instrument can be repaired, but a repair at that level cannot cure what caused the breakdown. After several years of marriage to a willful partner, an acquaintance of mine found herself suffocating in the relationship, unable to express her deepest desires and her creativity. One winter morning, her husband's Jeep, which was parked on their steep driveway, broke loose and rolled over her, crushing her pelvic area. Surgery and chemicals healed her hips and eased the pain of her body. But can surgery mend the damage that is done when a woman's creativity, represented in this case by her pelvic area, her reproductive capability, the physical symbol of her feminine creativity, is crushed by the uncontrolled macho masculinity of her husband, represented in this case by a runaway Jeep? Can chemicals ease the pain of a suffering soul? Is it chance that one person develops heart disease while another develops cancer? Even though disease states have correlations to factors of diet, exercise, lifestyle, and heredity, these correlations cannot mask the fact that life for some is a heartbreak, while others allow themselves to be consumed, to be eaten alive by the negative experiences of their lives. Can bypass surgery or chemotherapy heal that? Are there numerous ways that physical dysfunctions occur without meaning? Health for some people is a matter of the heart, for others, a matter of what they can digest or eliminate in the course of their lives, for others, a matter of the head, and for others, a matter of being able to hear or to see or to move through their lives flexibly or to stand on their own or literally to handle the experiences of their lives. These are the issues that must be addressed directly and openly and honestly in the creation of health. This does not mean that it is inappropriate to care for the body or to see a physician in time of illness. Even though the physical is not as real, so to speak, as the non-physical, it is nonetheless the lowest, densest projection of spiritual matter, and therefore it must be honored. The body needs rest, and it needs care. But behind every aspect of the health or illness of the body is the energy of the soul. It is the health of the soul that is the true purpose of the human experience. Everything serves that. Power. Chapter 13. Psychology. Psychology means soul knowledge. It means the study of the spirit, but it has never been that. Psychology is the study of cognitions, perceptions, and affects. It is the study of the personality. Because psychology is based upon the perceptions of the five sensory personality, it is not able to recognize the soul. It is not able to understand the dynamics that underlie the values and behaviors of the personality. Just as medicine seeks to heal the body without recognizing the energy of the soul that lies behind the health or illness of the body, and therefore cannot heal the soul, psychology seeks to heal the personality without recognizing the force of the soul that lies behind the configuration and experiences of the personality, and also, therefore, cannot heal at the level of the soul. In order to develop and nurture your mind and your body, it is necessary to realize that you have a mind and a body. To heal directly at the level of the soul, it is first necessary to acknowledge that you have a soul. If you have a soul, is it a hollowness that mythologically fills your ribcage? No. If then your soul is real and alive with force and beingness, what is its purpose? To develop a healthy and disciplined mind, an intellect that can expand wholesomely and fully into any task, requires more than merely recognizing the existence of the mind. It requires understanding how the mind works, what it desires, what strengthens it, and what weakens it, and then applying that knowledge. In the same way, it is not possible to consciously assist the soul in its evolution merely by recognizing the existence of the soul. It is necessary to understand the soul's temperament, to learn what the soul can tolerate and what it cannot tolerate, what contributes to its health and what breaks its health down. These things must be looked at. The means for doing this have not yet been developed. We have not yet created a disciplined and systematic understanding of the soul. We do not understand how our behaviors and activities affect the soul. When we see the personality in dysfunction, we do not think of what this reveals about the soul. Yet the personality is specific aspects of the soul reduced to a physical form. Therefore, dysfunctions of the personality cannot be understood without an understanding of the soul. The fears, angers, and jealousies that deform the personality cannot be understood apart from the karmic circumstances that they serve. When you understand, and truly understand, that the experiences of your life are necessary to the balancing of the energy of your soul, you are free not to react to them personally, to not create more negative karma for your soul. Pain by itself is merely pain, but the experience of pain, coupled with an understanding that the pain serves a worthy purpose, is suffering. Suffering is meaningful. Suffering can be endured because there is a reason for it that is worth the effort. What is more worthy of your pain than the evolution of your soul? This does not mean that you become a martyr. When you understand that by consciously serving the evolution of your soul, you contribute the most that you can to your world, you become one who contributes consciously to the well-being and spiritual development of those who share the human learning experience with you. If you are unkind to yourself, you will be unkind to others, and if you are negligent of yourself, you will be that to others. Only by feeling compassion for yourself can you feel compassion for others. If you cannot love yourself, you cannot love others, and you cannot stand to see others loved. If you cannot treat your own self kindly, you will resent that treatment when you see it in anyone else. If you cannot love yourself, loving others becomes a very painful endeavor with only occasional moments of comfort. In other words, loving others, or how you treat yourself, is your own dose of your own medicine that you really give to others at the same time. Individuals who experience what might be thought of as a martyr attitude see themselves as giving all that they have to others. They see this as a form of loving, but in truth, the love that they give is contaminated because it is so filled with sorrow for themselves. A sense of guilt and powerlessness clouds the energy from their hearts, and so when their affection is felt by another, it does not feel good, actually. It feels somehow thick with need. Yet the need is never articulated, and so their love is like cement pulling you. When you can do kindly things to yourself, then you know what it is to be able to love yourself. Then you can look at others who desperately need kindness and love and feel good about their getting it, not patronizing, but truly good. This is the energy of the soul. This is the perception of the soul. When there is no compassion, when there is guilt, remorse, anger, or sorrow, there is opportunity to heal the soul. What is the relationship of these experiences to a healthy soul and to a soul that is not healthy? What is a healthy soul? A spiritual psychology is necessary to answer these questions. A new discipline of the spirit that is truly of the spirit, that has as its focus the soul of the human being. human evolution, and the evolution of the spirit in matter, is a very specific evolution. It is not haphazard. It is not chaotic. It is very specific. When certain necessary processes of the maturation of the union of matter and spirit are not honored, the spirit breaks down. Psychologists have attempted to explain these breakdowns in the terms of psychology. We can continue to use that language, but let psychology then expand to include a language of the spirit. This will eventually become its first tongue, so to speak, and all psychosis and psychotic breakdown will finally, eventually, be put into its proper language, which is shattered spirit. Reincarnation and the role of karma in the development of the soul will be central parts of spiritual psychology. The characteristics of a personality, the qualities that make one personality different from another, cannot be appreciated without an understanding of the karma that created those characteristics. They cannot always be understood in terms of the history of the personality, because they may reflect experiences that predate the personality, in some cases by centuries. At issue, therefore, is not the effects of anger, jealousy, bitterness, and sorrow, and so forth upon the personality, but upon the soul. An understanding of each of the personalities, each of the lifetimes of a soul, is not necessary. The numerous lifetimes of a soul are not equally central to the development of each of its personalities. But without awareness of the experiences of those lifetimes that bear directly upon the struggles of your personality, you cannot understand the extent of what is being healed through your experiences, or seeking to come to conclusion. If your soul was a Roman centurion, an Indian beggar, a Mexican mother, a nomad boy, a medieval nun, among other incarnations, for example, and if the karmic patterns that were set into motion within those lifetimes are in motion within you, you will not be able to understand your proclivities or interest or ways of responding to different situations without an awareness of the experiences of those lifetimes. It may be that the medieval nun of your soul developed an ability to see an angel. What an extraordinary spiritual achievement! Your non-physical teacher will come to you upon those same frequencies of light. She gives to you the fruits of a lifetime of contemplation and struggle and pain and courage. The Roman centurion of your soul is not dead millennia ago. That energy can literally step into your body and want to hold a modern weapon out of curiosity. Do you dislike certain types of people? Were you drawn to medicine as a child? Are you frightened of small places? Reactions such as these are not always explainable in terms of the experiences of your life. The healing power at the core of psychology is the power of consciousness. Seeking out, facing with courage, and bringing into the light of consciousness that which is unconsciousness, and, therefore, in a position of power over the personality, is what heals. When that which needs to be made conscious is not recognized to exist, such as the experiences of lifetimes that were lived in other places and at other times, it cannot be healed in this way. Have you left a partner or a spouse? Has a spouse or a partner left you? It may be that your souls have graciously and with great compassion agreed to enact within this lifetime a situation that they have experienced together in another lifetime or other lifetimes, a situation that still has healing potential for both. It may be that your souls have agreed to a mutual balancing of energy, so that one experiences the same painful loss that it inflicted previously upon the other. Experiences such as these are not meant to cause meaningless pain. There is not one act in the universe that is not compassionate. Your parents are the souls to whom you are closest in your lifetime, and whose influence upon you is the greatest. This is so even if it does not appear that way, even if, for example, you were separated from your parents or a parent at birth. Your soul and the souls of your parents agreed to your relationship in order to balance the energy that each needed to balance, or to activate dynamics within each other that are essential to lessons that each must learn. without an awareness of your karmic interactions, of the experiences of other lifetimes of your soul, you are not able to understand the depth of the potential awakenings that can result from your interactions with a parent or a sibling. The exploration and understanding of intuition will be a central part of spiritual psychology. Intuition is the voice of the non-physical world. It is the communication system that releases the five sensory personality from the limitations of its five sensory system, that permits the multisensory personality to be multisensory. It is the connection between the personality and its higher self and its guides and teachers. Psychology does not even recognize the intuition, except as a curiosity. Therefore, it does not recognize the knowledge that is obtained through the intuition, and, therefore, this knowledge is not processed by the intellect. The five-sensory personality processes only the knowledge that it gathers and substantiates through its five senses. The multisensory personality acquires knowledge through its intuition, and, in processing that knowledge, aligns itself, step by step, with its soul. The conscious path to authentic power requires recognition of the non-physical dimensions of the human being, of the soul, and a growing knowledge of what the soul is and what it wants. Spirituality will be at the core of spiritual psychology. Spiritual psychology will be oriented toward spirituality, and spiritual crises will be considered legitimate sufferings. Spiritual psychology will trace and understand the functional relationships between karma, reincarnation, intuition, and spirituality. Spirituality has to do with the immortal process itself. You have your intuition, for example, but your spirituality is not limited to your personality and its intuitional system. Your spirituality encompasses your whole soul's journey, whereas your intuition is the way that your soul can contact your beingness to help it in survival situations, or in creative situations, or in inspirational situations. It is the way that, through your higher self, you can ask and receive assistance from other souls and from your teachers and guides. Your spirituality pertains to that which is immortal within you. Whereas, when you leave your body, your intuitional system that was developed for that body will be left behind because it will no longer be necessary. Spiritual psychology is a disciplined and systematic study of what is necessary to the health of the soul. It will identify behaviors that operate in opposition to harmony and wholeness, in opposition to the energy of the soul. It will consider the broad-reaching elements of negativity and how many forms of negativity there are and the effects of these upon the soul. Anything that increases separation within a person shatters the soul or in some form diminishes its strength, not to be confused with its immortality. The soul, as it reduces itself to fit into a physical incarnation, has the blueprint of holism in it. A genetic spiritual pattern, so to speak, of holism is there and present, and when the personality operates outside of the genetic pattern of holism, dysfunction results. Spiritual psychology will bring to light those situations that would shatter the spirit if seen clearly. Brutality, for example, shatters the human spirit. The soul cannot tolerate brutality. It cannot tolerate abundances of pain and irrationality. It cannot tolerate being lied to. Consider that on our planet. It cannot tolerate non-forgiveness. It cannot tolerate jealousies and hatreds. These are contaminants, poisons for it. When the personality engages in these behaviors, it is as though it feeds its body arsenic again and again. It is just like that. These behaviors distort and contaminate and destroy the strength of the soul in the same way. This is the distortedness of the soul that the physical reduced counterpart of the soul, called the personality, takes on in order to cleanse, in order to let other souls see so that it can be helped. Understanding this dynamic is at the heart of spiritual psychology. It is the foundation upon which spiritual psychology is built, so that when pain is seen, It is not responded to with judgment or ugliness or avoidance, but recognized as the soul shattered. In this way, we shall say, in this circumstance, let us heal him. Let us heal her. Let us not run from the unattractiveness of a shattered soul. The personality of a shattered soul is unaware. There is a continual interaction between your personality and your soul. The question is, are you aware of it, or are you not? If you are not aware of it, then it is not direct. It is indirect through having to move its currents through the density of doubt, through the density of unawareness. If you are aware of this guidance from your higher self, you are receptive to it. That receptivity allows guidance to flow instantly and immediately. If you are unaware and deny that there is any level of higher wisdom in guidance to your life, then the guidance must come through the density of physical events. Awareness first enters into an unaware personality through crisis. When the personality is not attached to, or is apart from, clear soul energy, it becomes seduced into the physical matterness of life. That always results in a personality crisis, because the necessary strength and guidance that are meant to flow into the personality have been cut off. The personality that is unaware of, or denies the existence of, its higher sources of wisdom cannot draw upon its guidance, its intuition, or any of the guiding mechanisms of our species. Therefore, crisis results. Was it meant that crisis be central to our growth? No. This pattern evolved through the choices that were made by our species. The flow of our evolution did not have to include this pattern of crisis. It did not have to include the experiences of pain and trauma, of emotional or physical violence and brutality in order to grow. It was given in divine order that our species would move into wholeness at some point in its evolution. How it moved and learned in the course of its evolution was left to be determined by the choices that our species made of how to maneuver energy within the Earth School. Doubt was created and chosen as the major teacher through human choice itself. Our species chose this way of learning and, therefore, set karmic patterns into motion, generational karmic patterns. As our species evolved, as it experienced its spectrum of fears, its spectrum of desires, its spectrum of attachments to the physical, collectively and individually, certain choices began to characterize and form the path that would be most familiar to us. Awakening into the need to touch something more, to touch one's own spiritual energy system, is now a well-worn path that includes the experience of becoming physically powerless in relation to the structure of the Earth School before the soul will reach for genuine power. In other words, the awakening of the personality to the potential of the soul has come to require the loss of a mate, or the death of a child, or the collapse of a business, or some situation that renders the individual powerless. It requires the failure of external power. That, to the five-sensory personality, is crisis. Spiritual psychology addresses this situation by addressing directly the issue of authentic power. It is timely because it comes at a time when our species is evolving beyond the five-sensory personality, beyond learning through five-sensory exploration of the physical world, which is external power, and into the experiences of the multi-sensory personality, the experiences of the non-physical world, and the conscious journey toward authentic power through responsible choice, with the assistance of non-physical guides and teachers. The personality, including the five-sensory personality, is neither positive nor negative. It is a tool of the soul, a natural part of incarnation. The development of the five senses was a celebration in which the intellect was expanded and our species was allowed to learn through physical matter. The quest for external power came to be generated by insecurity, not because of the limitations of the five-sensory personality, but because of the choices that were made by our species to learn through fear and doubt instead of through wisdom. Our species is again being given the chance to choose how it will learn, how it will evolve. This is a time for us as a species and as individuals to choose again. It is an opportunity for us as a species and as individuals to choose differently, to choose otherwise, to choose this time to learn love through wisdom, to take the vertical path of clarity, of conscious growth and conscious life. We are coming to the end of a phase of evolution that was written long before we existed. When the learning and evolution of our species was designed, it was designed to complement cycles, great cycles that work within the universe, within our galaxy, and within others. These cycles move within physical form at certain speeds, serving certain purposes and balances of energies. The cycle that we are ending, and therefore beginning, is of a moment in which three cycles come to conclusion and begin again. These cycles act one inside of the other. Just as the moon orbits the earth, which orbits the sun, and there are orbits within orbits, so too there are cycles within cycles. We are coming to the close of a grand cycle astrologically, a 2,000-year cycle, and an even grander cycle, where a 25,000-year cycle is linking with the conclusion of a 125,000-year cycle. That is why these things, within this moment of our evolution, are happening now. This is when they were meant to be. The negativity of the last 2,000-year cycle is being collected now so that it can be discharged and transformed, so that the next cycle of 2,000 years, which starts with the next beginning cycle of 25,000 years and the next beginning cycle of 125,000 years, all three simultaneously, can begin fresh. This is what this present situation and moment upon our earth is about. The birth of very different opportunities. Opportunities to release patterns that are no longer necessary. The more light, capital L, literally, the more enlightened that you are, the more you will choose different ways. Spiritual psychology will support the choice to learn through wisdom. The choice to release patterns of negativity, of doubt and fear that are no longer appropriate to who we are and what we are becoming. It will make clear the relationship between the personality and the soul, the differences between them, and how to recognize those differences. It will make explicit the effects of interactions between personalities from the perspective of the impersonal energy dynamics that they set into motion. And it will show how these dynamics can be used to heal. Chapter 14. Illusion. Each interaction with each individual is part of a continual learning dynamic. When you interact with another, an illusion is part of this dynamic. This illusion allows each soul to perceive what it needs to understand in order to heal. It creates, like a living picture show, the situations that are necessary to bring into wholeness the aspects of each soul that require healing. The illusion is a learning vehicle. It is of the personality. You will leave the illusion behind when you die, when you return home. Yet a personality that lives in love and light, that sees through the eyes of its soul, metaphorically speaking, can see the illusion and simultaneously not be drawn into it. This is an authentically empowered personality. The illusion is exquisitely intimate to the needs of each soul. Always each situation serves each person involved. You cannot, and will not, encounter a circumstance or a single moment that does not serve directly and immediately the need of your soul to heal, to come into wholeness. The illusion for each soul is created by its intentions. Therefore, the illusion is alive at each moment with the most appropriate experiences that you can have in order for your soul to heal. The illusion is malleable. This does not mean that what is created jointly within the illusion does not have an independence of the individual souls that participated in its creation. It means that there is no perception that cannot be healed. Just as there is no intention that cannot be changed or replaced with another. Understanding how the illusion comes into being, how it works, the dynamics behind it, and the role that it plays in the evolution of the soul is at the heart of spiritual psychology. Spiritual